I become impressed over the last few weeks with regard to this teaching that the Lord would have me to talk further on. I brought these things up before, but I want us to go a little bit more in depth in this today. And we're calling this teaching, Be on Your Guard of AI's Teaching. Be on your guard of AI's teaching. We are clearly being faced with artificial intelligence, and it's meaning business. It is out quite clearly to teach, but also to deceive the world. And it's being forced upon us, as usual, brought in through the back door, not voted upon, no democracy, whatever, debates, nothing. And before we know where we are, we're under surveillance, we're being watched, and it's come through the back door, and then when it's opposed or try to be brought up in debates or in parliament, the problem is it's got a grip, it's got a hold. That in itself should be a warning and a giveaway. And yet I am finding so many professing Christians who say they love the Lord who are so blinded by this and go along with it. Which can be a number of things. Either we don't want to face it because we know in our hearts it's spreading like a slow cancer, or we just are willing to bow the knee to it and go along with it. But you see, we all of us have or will have to make stands in areas. And I've already confronted this on the internet. I've already taught on this, an actual video that's gone out. Many, many people have seen this. I've already confronted a Christian who's using AI in which to preach the Word of God with simulation and movies and figures, all produced by AI. And the response was, there is nothing wrong with this. I have been in control. It's from the Word of God. And as good as saying, how dare you oppose what I'm doing? So you can already begin to see the confusion that arises out of this, which is exactly what the devil wants to do. He will always work with confusion in vague areas, in the shaded areas, the greys, instead of black and white, which the Word of God is to us. You see, God doesn't work that way, you see. And you will find when you confront this, you will see the opposition that arises. The powers of darkness clearly do not like it. They do not like the body of Christ warring against the powers, principalities in this, which we should be doing. You will clearly see that it's not liked or appreciated at all. But God would not have us to be ignorant with regard to his word and what he is saying and what the Spirit is saying to us in these closing days. And we have to be aware that the beast, the system, is the final Gentile world power. We know this from Daniel. If we turn quickly to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 26. Daniel 7 and verse 26. And he says this, but the court, no, sorry, I'm in the wrong one here. Daniel 7, 26. But the court shall be sealed, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people and the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So we see that before dominion is given to the saints, which we already have now by faith in Jesus Christ, until then, there is going to be a rising up of a power that is going to take dominion. Now, this power Daniel refers to as the little horn. And this little horn that rises up amongst the four horns is the beast system. And this is going to be the Antichrist, who, as we know, is going to rule and reign for 7 years. And that will be the end of the Roman Empire as we know it. You see, we are still under the Roman Empire. It never ceased. We know that it didn't, because we still pay our taxes, which the Roman Empire introduced, and many other things. So it's still with us. Not, of course, in the same under the Romans, but the system, the principalities, the power that control it are still there, the world rulers. And this little horn is going to rise up, and for 7 years is going to establish its kingdom, the Antichrist kingdom, or the world ruler. Now, if we turn to Revelation 13, I just want to explain a few things here for us to understand exactly how this works. You see, we're seeing everything moving toward the unveiling of the Antichrist when he appears as a world political leader. And what we see in Revelation 13, we see, for example, in verses 2, well, we'll read it from chapter 13. And it says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Now, the sea always refers to as the nations, the people. Having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his heads blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his throne and great authority. So that is, of course, is using the world, the dominions, Greece, Media, Persia, and all those ruling nations that were combined together, their images that are used, because this is all coming out of the world systems. And great authority is given. And he says, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So we see first and foremost then that the Roman Empire as we know it has come to its end. There is now a new rulership come in, and it is the beast system, and it speaks of a wound. Now, this, of course, is speaking of the Antichrist himself when revealed to the world. And they will see him as a great political leader, someone who can put things right in this troublesome world. He will have the answers, because we know he's going to deceive the Jews, Israel. And the world marvels and follows the beast. Why does the world follow the beast? Because the world is idolatrous. And so they worship the dragon, verse 4, who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So there's probably a type of resurrection that takes place. He's probably assassined, or somebody takes a shot at him, or whatever it is. This is one of the things that is debated and believed. And somehow he survives it and is raised up. So, of course, it's a counterfeit resurrection. Remember that Satan counterfeits everything that God does. And verse 5, he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and he blasphemes against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So we see the aim of all of this is to blaspheme, to come against God's anointed, God's name, God's authority. And we see that an image is made in which to worship him. And it says, and it was granted to him in verse 7 to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over tribes, tongues, and nations. All who dwell on the earth who worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life, and the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all whose names are not written, who are not called from the foundation of the world, will follow him and will take the mark of the beast. If anyone who has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. So we see the attack is on the saints, the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. We are the target, brothers and sisters. Make no bones about it. And it says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all authority to the first beast in his presence. So we see that the beast system speaks, and we're already seeing that now taking place through AI. And then the authority comes when the world is presented with, which we believe is a mark, and we believe it's this chip that is placed in the right hand or in the forehead. And he exercises all then the authority. And it then speaks about those who dwelt in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So they think that he's been resurrected. He's the Messiah. He performs great signs. Here he is. He's deceiving more, that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. And it deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which was granted for to do in the sight of the beast, and calling down fire and images and making an image of him. And so it goes on. And great power is given, and he breathes out of this image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So we see that there is an image, and I believe the image, the actual beast, the beast system, the power, the satanic power is placed within this mark that is placed upon human beings that they take. You see? And they're deceived because those, it clearly says, who take it, their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So they have no discernment. They have no wisdom. They are not hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. They have been deceived. They've been taken in. Even Israel will be taken in. But because of election and a remnant that are saved, their eyes will be open. And that's why God is going to send the two witnesses, which possibly is, we certainly know one of them is Elijah and could well be Moses, who come back, who warn Israel. Why does God do that? Because they are called from the foundation of the world. So we see very clearly you have to be called by God, because that is where your protection, your wisdom, your discernment comes. It's absolutely clear how it defines this. And we see that the Antichrist is going to have, not only is he going to raise this image of himself, which is certainly the mark of the beast, but probably images will be raised up. It's very interesting, isn't it, that in countries where there are dictators, often you find when you travel around the cities, there are all photos and banners of their world leader. That is very prevalent. That's very often seen when you go into communist countries or you have authoritarian governments. There you have images of the leader, his face, all around streets and cities and so on. So they are types of what the Antichrist is going to have of himself. He will have supreme military power. We've already read it, and it says in verse 4, so they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? So he will have that supreme military power. He has a universal authority over most of the earth. Not totally, completely, I don't believe, but most of it. What covers most of the earth now, the four corners of the earth? The web. It's a spider's web, and it covers the four corners of the earth. And we see that in verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and was given authority to continue for 42 months. So he's got 7 years in which to do all of this. And the last 3.5 years will be then the great tribulation. We see it also in verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So there we are. He has universal authority. He has the authority to persecute believers. God is going to sift his church. He has authority over the economic world. In other words, he's a dictator over the economy. Where do we see this? Verses 16 and 17. He causes all both, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the beast on the number of his name. So he has economic dictatorship. We also know that the woman rides the beast in the Word of God, which is probably the religious world, the ecumenical movement that is uniting all religions. This is what we are seeing now taking place. This is what we are seeing in this country. It is in this country the Antichrist spirit is trying to break the Christian principles of this nation. Magna Carta. We are seeing attacks on nations, getting them now to lose their identity, what they stood for, what their history was, what history made them. It's all under attack to lose this identity, to become a religious ecumenical movement, embracing all the religions. This is our problem we're having now in this country, particularly with Islam. AI is going to teach the world about the Antichrist, establishing his rulership. This is why you cannot believe all of it. China is a warning to us now at the moment, but it seems we learn nothing. Our rights, our freedom of speech, democracy as we know it, are all under attack, under debate. They're all under threat. We are now under surveillance. It doesn't matter where you go, you are watched. Cameras are there everywhere. Bureaucracy is insane, over the top. Why have we got bureaucracy so much? To wear you out, to tire you. It's the same if you try on the internet or computers, whatever, things that go wrong, the time it takes to try and correct or try and put in the right information. I'm going through this at the moment with ID that they're wanting from me because of money we send to the orphanage. I've now been blocked sending money until I give ID. And what they require and what they want now, and they're bringing in facial recognition. Where do we go with this, saints? How far? The bureaucracy, insane. The nanny state that we are, where they want to control you, control your health. I'm constantly getting pressure, NHS, to come to be examined and come to have your heart looked at, come to have this looked at, and so on. The nanny state, it's trapping us. We're already seeing an increase in these mental conditions. Under the stress, the strain, we're already seeing the side effects coming from drugs, vaccinations, illnesses that they can't even explain. And the increase in cancer has gone through the roof. the people I know, students I know, going down with cancer. It's frightening. We're seeing, particularly with our young generation, this obsession with phones and social media. Completely over the top. I watch them when I go to the gym sometimes. They're not doing workouts, most of them. They're just absorbed in their phones. It's like they're hypnotized. I was looking at this the other day. I said, Lord, what demons, powers are there that can control the world, our young people? What is it we're dealing with that has such a hold over their minds? I ask the Lord these questions sometimes as I'm watching, I'm observing this. Our phones know more about us than we do ourselves. We're controlled by algorithms that control what we look at, what we hear. It watches us. And it watches us, particularly if we're Christians and we're going on Christian lines, talking with other Christians or whatever it is, it's going to try and influence us and teach us in a religious way. It's all trying to get us to be reliant on AI. I don't believe most now of what I see. AI now is speaking to us. We have Google. We have such apps as Claude. You can hold quiet conversations with them, but you can soon, if you give the right answers, you can find out where they're limited. But most people don't know that. We have an unhealthy environment now where people who are losing their loved ones can now talk with them. They hear their voice because it's been recorded. Or they can see their face because digital facial identity comes up. And so they can see the face of the loved one, hear their voice and talk with them. And you warn them, and a lot of them will say, yes, I know it's AI, but it gives me such great comfort. I could just go on with all of this. A warning in the Bible is clear to us of King Saul, who disobeyed God. And as a result of it, God didn't speak to him anymore. But he was desperate to hear God speak. And so we know the story. He went to the witch of Endor. Totally forbidden to do that sort of thing. Why do I raise that? Because we're going to see this happening amongst professing Christians. They're going to be faced. Are they listening to what they think is God through this? Or are they going to hear God through the Holy Spirit, through his word? You see? This is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential. You know, it struck me the other day through the Deeper Light teaching that I have had now for 40 odd years. I'm now beginning to understand and appreciate the value of that teaching. Because it was radical, it was criticized, it was rejected by many who once embraced it. But I thank God in his mercy and grace that I saw what was being preached and taught. I saw it with my own eyes in the Word of God. And something within me didn't want to let it go. And I'm beginning to see the fruit, the benefit of the deeper life in the Spirit teaching. How it has given us this discernment to rightly divide the word of truth, to discern the powers of darkness, to be able to trust God and walk 100% trusting the Lord by faith. And the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, how essential it is to be empowered by God from on high, to be preserved and protected by his love and grace and mercy, to stand upon these promises and confess them when everything else is against us. I'm valuing that. Now, as I'm seeing this AI, the beast, raising its head now to teach, and all of this AI is pointing to the Antichrist. That is what it's teaching, preparing the world for. And it alarms me and saddens me how many I see on social media cannot see this. They think it's wonderful. They go to AI when they're in a spiritual debate, talking about the word. Is that person what they're talking about the word? Are they right? Instead of getting it from the Holy Spirit, they're going on to AI to try and get an answer. Why do they do that? Because they don't know. God isn't speaking to them, just like Saul. But we will know those who are hearing from God because their lives will be completely different. Their lives will be trusting God, walking by faith, not trusting any of this stuff that's coming up. I see it now with friends. If you're in conversation or you talk about something or you raise something up, the next thing they're doing is they're getting on their phones, contacting AI or Google to find out what you're saying is true. That's the latest thing that goes on now. Why is that? Because there's so much fear, there's so much confusion, nobody believes anyone anymore. We've lost all respect. There's no moral fiber. It's all going in society. And so you have this suspicion, this fear that works. But you know, the word of God says if there's no fear in the perfect love of God. You will know in your heart. You might not have all the answers, but you know in your heart if it's right or it's wrong. And that is the difference. And God will always lead you to the word of God. He will speak to you. He will show you. Because we're living in a world now where it lies and it blasphemes. The heart is deceitful, wicked above all things, the word of God says. But we are defenders of the truth. We seek the truth. We dig it out from the word of God. We wait on God for the truth. We come to meetings like this and under the anointing so that God speaks to us, helps us, warns us. This is why the seven churches all end with a warning. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's us. Why? Because we are unraveling things like Revelation 13. the book of Daniel, now being opened, that was closed and sealed for many centuries. Jesus' warning in Matthew 24 of the end times, what we're to observe and watch with our eyes, our ears. That's what he tells us to do. Because he says you can observe when a storm's coming. You can see, it's in the clouds, it shows you. But why is it you're not discerning and testing and seeing the times and the signs? The great falling away that's taking place now. We're living in depraved times. We're seeing paganism rising up again. We're seeing people changing their form or changing their sex. They're no longer like being a man or a woman. Changing their outward visible appearance. Tattoos all over them. Changing their faces. Their bodies, the worship of the body now, particularly young men, are obsessed with their bodies, building their bodies, their muscles. I watch them sometimes. At the gym, we have big mirrors all the way around. They're obsessed. They can't take their eyes off themselves. And they're making these different stands and poses and trying to flex the muscles. They try and do it in a very secretive way because they know that people might laugh at them otherwise. But I watch, bound, obsessed. We're seeing idolatry on a level we've never seen before. And AI feeds the lot and will tell you you're okay. You're doing all right. No problem. This is why, brothers and sisters, as I close with this, this is why we're called to spiritual warfare. For as Ephesians 6 tells us, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, powers, principalities, dominions. We've got to look above. Look beyond it. Allow the Holy Spirit to show us what is working behind all of this. Satan is coming forth in great wrath, for his time is short. And the manifestation of the sons of God, the overcomers, the wise virgins, are beginning to make him desperate. Because he knows he has a short time. And it says he's going to come first in a seductive way. And then when his identity is truly seen, and that is through Israel, when he goes into the third temple that Israel builds and commits the abomination and desolation, the signing of a treaty, making a covenant with them. The two witnesses then will speak out and warn who this really is. Then when he's unveiled, he's seen for what he is, he then comes forth with great wrath and vengeance. And it will be against the saints of the Most High who are left after the rapture, the taking away of the first fruits. We read it to you there. It's all there in Revelation 13. But at the moment, we are seeing now the rise of AI, and it is in nature blasphemous. Why is it blasphemous? As it says in verse 5, because it is a counterfeit of the Holy Spirit. It will let you think it is teaching you Christianity. It's very open to it. It wants to learn all about it. But it is blasphemy. It is a counterfeit of God, of the Holy Spirit, that the believer should learn from. We do not learn our Christian walk from this, but from the Holy Spirit, whom he's blessed us with, baptized us with. He now lives in us. It's as good as saying, you are insufficient, you are not good enough, AI is better than you. What can ever be better than Almighty God, the creator and maker of all things? So there we are. Be on your guard of AI's teaching.